morning. Welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We love to highlight Wisconsin businesses and industries. We have talked to, of course, cheese producers. We have talked to the cranberry growers. We've talked to ginseng growers.
The hazelnut growers
we just had on a couple of weeks ago. So we are continuing what we are calling this segment, Beyond the Cheese, as we highlight things beyond just dairy. And I'm so excited to have our next guest on. And I wanted to give a shout out to reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk for WPR, because that's the reason why I found this story. And our next guest, she is the executive director for the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, Teresa Baron. Thank you so very much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good. Very good.
I reached out to you real last minute yesterday because we had just talked about the Truth in Syrup measure. And within the body of this article, it talks about Wisconsin, which I did not realize, is the number four producer of maple syrup in the country.
Correct. Wisconsin is fourth in the nation behind Vermont, New York, and Maine. Each year, our producers go up and up. It's really the industry is a labor of love, and people, it brings families together.
Well, it certainly can't be, because it's such a quick thing, because producing maple syrup is, from what I understand, is incredibly time intensive, right?
That it is. It takes 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of maple syrup. And you need ideal conditions in the weather. Right now, it's really on the upstream for a producer, because this is ideal conditions of weather, but it's kind of early. So many of your large producers are starting to tap as they normally do, because they have a tubing system, where your smaller producers usually are tapping later, usually mid-February, beginning of March. We have an operation of about 1,200 taps on tubing and pails. So we usually start tapping mid-February at our operation. We are going to tap a little bit earlier this year just because of this weather.
Sure.
But just our tubing system, on that being said.
There are so many things involved with the production of maple syrup, and weather is one of those critical things, and temperature is another one of those critical things, right? Because it has to be right in order to get the sap to run, but I would imagine you need a certain amount of cold for the trees, yep, right, to produce.
Yeah, you do. You want the temperature to be freezing at night and above freezing during the day. That's a big thing on the temperature. You need that freeze-thaw cycle to kind of warm up the roots. And one thing about this year's season, with the less snow, it actually blankets your roots, which helps that frost come out of the ground quicker. So right now, at ideal temperatures, not necessarily your trees are running, because that frost may not have come out of the ground yet.
If you're just joining us, Teresa Baron is our guest. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, and we're talking about the fact that Wisconsin is the number four producer of maple syrup in the country. Is there a particular area of the state, Teresa, where our maple syrup producers are primarily located?
We kind of joke about the Maple Beltline, and that runs through like Merrill, Wausau, mid-Wisconsin, central Wisconsin. But there are many producers throughout the state. Of course, usually if you're more in southern Wisconsin, your season starts earlier. You know, there's many producers down in, you know, Milwaukee, Madison way, where upper Wisconsin, your producers usually tap later in the season. I'm in Wisconsin. There are, if everybody said they're a producer and said to the state we produce, I bet you there's over 10,000 producers.
Seriously?
And when I say 10,000 producers, you can make maple syrup from one tree. On average, one tree, one tap should give you 10 gallons of sap, hence one quart of maple syrup. So yes, you can tap a tree in your yard. and boil that down. And like you said, it's a long process, that boiling down. I mean, there's so many ways people process, from LP to wood to pellets to electric on an evaporator, that takes out that water in the sap.
Isn't it so interesting though, Teresa, considering how long this has been going on, how long the production of maple syrup has been going on, that there hasn't been some kind of breakthrough to speed the whole thing up. I just find it fascinating that it essentially is pretty much the same process it's always been.
Correct. I mean, innovations have come with your ROs, your reverse osmosis systems, but it still is taking that sap that comes from the tree and boiling that down to create that nice product.
And that's why you said too, I know people who have done this with their families for generations. It's because it requires so much time and so much tending. This is a family event. This is a regular tradition, because you need all 14 of your siblings there to spell each other right when you're boiling the water off.
Right.
Teresa Baron is our guest. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. Who is the biggest producer? You had mentioned that there is one that has about 1,200 trees. Is that the biggest one?
Oh, in Wisconsin, no. There's people with 80,000 taps. You think Wisconsin doesn't have many taps, but like I said, there's many producers from that 1 to 80. Maybe it's even more than that. There's quite a few bigger producers in upper Wisconsin, in northern Wisconsin. So, and producers keep expanding. One thing nice about Wisconsin, you'll notice, there's lots of maple trees. So there's lots of room for expansion. And one thing kind of neat about the maple industry, a lot of people tap on their neighbors' woods and work deals out with their neighbors. And they do a lot of communal tapping in small communities. You know, you'll see in towns now, people are tapping their trees and working together on a one boiling down system. But if you're tapping your trees in town, just remember, if they're on the road right away, you better contact your city.
Like, yeah, you're going to want to let them know about that.
Yeah.
And Teresa, it's not that complicated to do this. I can't imagine you need all that much equipment.
No, you need a drill, a spigot, a hammer, and something food grade to put that sap in. Why I say food grade, anything sap touches, it'll take on the taste. So if you're putting it in a pickle pail, it'll take on that taste. And you don't want pickle flavored syrup. So you really want to use...
I bet you there's some people out there who do.
Pickle syrup. Oh, yeah. There's an offshoot for you right there, Teresa. There's the next thing.
So you want to...
Go ahead.
So you just want, when you're taking that sap, it's a perishable product. So when you're taking that clean sap, you want to cook it down. That's giving you a better quality product. I mean, people cook down on an air fryer. You know, they'll put their sap and cook in there. Just if you had oil in the air fryer, you don't want to use that. You want to use a clean pan, because it'll pick up any of that. So when it's said that anybody can do it, yeah, it's just, it takes a long time as you let that cook down to that 66.9 bricks, and it just takes time.
Lots of patience.
Lots of patience.
You got to have lots of patience. Yeah. Assuming, and when I saw this article in WPR, and it's about the part of it is about the truth in syrup measure that is being considered in the assembly. I am completely with the maple syrup producers on that. It's, you can't use other stuff, then it's not maple syrup, it's maple something.
Maple juice.
Maple juice.
Yeah. We were really blessed when, as a maple industry, when Senator Royes and Representative Considine brought this forth. Senator Royes was really sick of going to a restaurant and having maple syrup on the menu and you're getting some flavored something. Growing up with maple syrup, you hope you have truth in your labeling for consumers, especially from a producer aspect. We know how much work and time it goes into producing this product and the nutritional value. 2 tablespoons of maple syrup has the same potassium as a banana.
There you go.
So it really is good for you. So when this came before it and went for public hearing at the assembly last week, It was really nice that we were invited down to show, to give our testimony on this bill. So we hope that it keeps moving forward, because again, the consumer should know what they're getting, that they're getting this pure thing that comes from a tree, not some corn substitute something.
Well, and I would imagine for people like you and other maple producers, you can taste it instantaneously, right?
Most definitely.
You're a purist.
You're purist.
You're a syrup purist.
And we were just having a conversation earlier about the need for potassium and Jane's dislike of bananas. So now we have a healthy alternative. You heard it here, folks.
Maple syrup.
You said 2 tablespoons?
2 tablespoons.
And is there a way to purchase maple syrup through the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, Teresa?
So we have a great website, www.wismaple.org. And on that website, there's a section that has all the producers that are members of the association. You click on there, put in your zip code, and it'll give you a local producer nice. That you can buy maple syrup from. Also, you can buy it at your farmer's market and everywhere else as well.
But yeah, buy it from a local producer. Yeah, buy it from a Wisconsin producer. And maple bacon, baby. Ooh.
Oh, boy.
That's a good thing.
One thing cool about maple syrup that many people I don't think are aware of, it can taste different throughout the state of Wisconsin just because of your soils and nutrients in the ground. Yeah. I mean, cooking mechanism changes it as well, but it's kind of like honey. There can be a different taste.
Yeah.
I mean, still get the same flavor, you know, profile or whatever you want to say. But yeah, so I would say try syrup from all over the state. Once you find one, you know, stick to that one.
This has been so interesting. Thank you so much for helping us go beyond the cheese. She is the executive director of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, Teresa Baron. It's been such a pleasure. I hope we can have you back on. Well, maybe we'll talk to you after the season is done. We'll talk to you later in the spring.
We'll do a taste test.
Well, ooh, I like that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you so very much. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel so 60s. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator is on the board. Coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. If you're just joining us, coming up in a little bit, 11:33, right after the news, we're going to be talking about the Birkebeiner, the 50th anniversary of the greatest cross-country race in the country. The 50th anniversary is this year.
Yep.
So we're going to be talking to Sean Connolly, who is the marketing and communications director for the Birkey. What are you laughing at?
It sounded like you said Sean Connolly.
Sean Connolly. He's with the Birkey.
I know. You sound like you're from Boston.
He's going to be here at 11:33 to tell us all about it. I think they're having some snow issues in the northern part of the state, but I know these people know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
So we'll find out what's going to be going on with all the snowmaking and all the hoopla that they will be having a little bit later in February. We were talking to Teresa Baron. She's with the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association. We love to talk about other things beyond just the agricultural products that Wisconsin is known for. Cheese, obviously. We've talked to cranberry producers. We've talked to ginseng producers. We recently talked to hazelnut producers in Wisconsin. And so we wanted to highlight the fact that I did not know this, that Wisconsin is number 4 in the nation for producing genuine maple syrup.
Because we're awesome. Mark from the SAC texted in, good maple syrup is fantastic. The synthetic fake stuff is an abomination, a crime against nature, and nature's God. Mark, don't be dramatic. Tell us how you really feel.
It's an abomination.
Yeah, I guess here's the thing is, I don't think I have the palate to tell. Well, I guess if you put real maple syrup next to a corn-based one, but I just always assumed they were all maple syrup, so I didn't really care.
Because we trust people.
Well, I don't trust people. I want my pancakes to taste good.
But now it's something to look out for. If you want genuine maple syrup, and there's this truth in syrup measure now that is being considered in the legislature so that you know that you're getting the real deal. Tony checking in on the live stream. Maple bacon is the best. Yes, it is.
I disagree, but that's just me.
Have you ever had maple bacon?
I've had it. I don't. I prefer my savory separate from my sweet.
Okay.
This is how I am. I like Fair my bacon enough. If it tastes like bacon. And let's just leave it at that.
There's the scone lady who's at the Waukesha Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
Every Saturday makes the best maple bacon scones. Will blow your mind.
Okay.
They're so good.
Okay.
They're so good. Stephen from Green Bay is on the line. We're talking all things maple syrup and and it's full of potassium too.
Yeah, that's the great part.
That is. There's a good nutritional reason. What did you want to say, Stephen? Thanks for joining us.
Well, I thought I'd call in because we seem to be talking about a sticky situation. with that being said, a couple quick comments. The first thing is when you call Kelvin the Kelvinator, it reminds me weirdly of the Baconator from Wendy's. I don't know if anyone else has that thought.
If you say it or not, I always think of the Baconator. I'm thinking about it right now.
Secondly, I did read a article online about potato growers in Wisconsin being the top potato grower east of the Mississippi River. So maybe there's a Wisconsin Potato Growers Association that you want to have.
There we go.
I like that, Stephen. I am writing that down right now. Seriously, if anyone knows of an industry or anything in Wisconsin that you would like us to take a further look at,
yeah,
we're absolutely open to it.
Yeah,
we love crowing about what we're doing here in the dairy state.
We want to know about the things that we do here better than anyone else.
Maybe that, Idaho.
Whoa, hey, he did say east of the Mississippi.
Fine.
Okay, all right.
We'll take wins where we get them. Papa Rico says Wisconsin spuds are the best.
All right.
844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
If you have strong feelings about maple syrup or the Birkebein or anything like that. I would love to know some other recipes other than maple bacon.
Well, I mean.
Right? You can do maple cupcakes, I suppose.
Well, the thing that she brought up, though, that was interesting to me is she said that the sap will take on the taste of whatever it hits.
Of the container that you put it in.
Oh, Teresa, who's still on the chat, said maple old fashioned.
Ah.
Maple candies.
Maple candies.
But I have to assume in the world we live in of weird concoctions, inventions, different kinds of beer. I had a dill pickle sour a couple months ago and it was pretty good. There has to be someone out there making dill pickle syrup. Or, you know, spaghetti syrup or something. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be experimentations going on.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Another, Teresa, again, maple glazed salmon.
I would eat that in a heartbeat.
Maple dill pickles.
Boom. I'm a genius.
I use it as a substitute for sugar in most recipes.
Wait, where are you getting that from?
That's from Sean. Who's waiting to join us at 11:33?
You see, folks,
we got the whole maple chat, the whole side maple chat going
folks,
on.
Folks, you're on the live stream right now. We got ourselves a little VIP thing happening here.
Tony, again, I just had my first maple old fashioned last month. It was wonderful.
That's fantastic. I would totally do a maple old fashioned.
I would give that a try.
Oh, absolutely. I think we need to make that happen.
We need to probably go down to Nice Ash here in downtown Waukesha.
Live show.
Oh, drinking on a lot for drinking with a live show?
I'm just saying we do little samples.
Okay.
We test it. We talk about it. We highlight a local business, and we put it on the company credit card.
And then we make Kelvin drive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like the way you're thinking, Jane. I knew when I met you.
Well, we're putting together all kinds of ideas for road trips and, yeah, and different things. And as a matter of fact, Todd, Alba and I were talking last night about going on a tour of the 3rd Congressional District.
Nice.
So we were chatting back and forth last night, laying out our route and where we'd like to hit. So we're thinking maybe in mid-May. This is all a work in progress, but I'd like to go to Richland Center, La Crosse, Amory, Stevens Point, and then wrap it up in Wausau. So if we do a whole week on the road, I think it would be really interesting. There's going to be a big election in the 3rd Congressional District. Eric, yeah, Van Orden currently in that seat.
Could have all those people running against him.
There are three.
There you go. Tony said in my reference to going to a bar and doing a show, he said, what is this, Devil's Advocates? No. So, yeah, we got so much to do with maple syrup and other foodstuffs.
We could just do a food tour of Wisconsin.
I'm not against that either. I love that idea. Can I come with?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All in the works. We'll let you know.
2024 is going to be amazing.
Stuff progresses. All right. We're going to talk about the Berkey. The 50th anniversary of the Berkey Miner is coming up in February. All the details on the way. Stay close. We have news on the way next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very, very happy to have you along. Jane, Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin is on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder, Bucks in action tonight. They're at the Trailblazers at 8:30. You can listen on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, or WCQM in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. Again, the Bucks and the Trailblazers tonight at 8:30. Very excited to have our next guest joining us. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks, the 50th annual American Berkey Miner. Sean Connolly is the Marketing and Communications Director, and he joins us live. Good morning, Sean. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, it's a little brown up there right now, isn't it?
You know, I'm looking out the window and, yeah, unfortunately seeing a little more grass and concrete than we'd like to see around this time of year. Just this past Monday night and during our live stream, we announced that we are going to be most likely seeing some changes to this year's American Berkey Miner. These years happen.
Sure.
Yeah, they certainly do. But this isn't the first time it's happened either, which is kind of gives us a lot of hope. 1981. The American Berkey Miner was actually nicknamed the Bikini Miner because it was 63 degrees outside. And the day before the race, we had over 300 volunteers in the woods shoveling snow out onto the course. So
oh
that the elite could go into the course.
Sean,
so that's happened.
It was 63 degrees at the end of February.
That was in 1981. We've had other years that maybe the lake wasn't frozen. So for those of who aren't familiar with the race, it's a 50-kilometer race from Cable to Hayward, Wisconsin. So that's going from north to south. And the final leg of the race, the very last part, goes across Lake Hayward right before you hit downtown. You go over International Bridge, which cuts right over Highway 63, and then you go right down Main Street. It's a really exciting event. When the lead skier goes off, the church bells ring throughout the town. It's just such a cool event. It's really cool downtown. And so we've had years where the lake wasn't quite frozen enough, so we weren't able to do that. So there have been plenty of years. 2000, unfortunately, we had to cancel then. 2000 and 2017 are the only times we've had to totally cancel the race due to bad weather. And to be honest, this year, that's not completely off the table. I mean, if the week before the Berkey, it's 50 degrees and raining, there's not a lot we can do about that. But the things we can control, which is really exciting, is that for the first time, just for the past 2 years, we've been able to make snow here just through some very generous donations. We have a lot of very generous donors that have prepared us for years like this. So we've had our snow machines running around the clock whenever we can. And right now we have one of the biggest, they call them Nordic whales, a snow pile. All right. We call them Nordic whales. And they do look like a big Nordic whale underneath the snow. And we have one right now that's getting close to probably 150 meters long and two stories high, that we're going to be able to shift some of that snow out around the course. So the four contingencies right now are Berkey as usual, 1% to 5% chance that that's actually going to happen. All right. If we're looking outside the window and we're looking at the long range forecast, but it's on the table. It's there. The other two options would be one that is a looped course that goes from Cable to Double O. Now, again, for those who aren't familiar, the race goes from Cable to Hayward. Look at my screen, Cable to Hayward. And then right in the middle is Double O. It's a highway called Double O. So the other one would be a looped course where it goes from Cable down to Double O and then back up.
Yeah.
And the other exciting option would be a looped 10 to 20K course right around the Birkebeiner Trailhead, which is where we have our snowmaking machines. So that's the other option. And the reason that option is really exciting, particularly for our spectators, is that this year, the World Cup of cross-country skiing is being held right over in the Twin Cities. So there's a lot of skiers that are going to be coming to the American Birkebeiner that are world-class, and particularly Jessie Diggins, literally the best cross-country skier in the world. That's not just hyperbole. That's like, look at the numbers. She's the best cross-country skier in the world right now. And she's going to be racing the Birkebeiner. So the cool part about potentially having a looped course is that if we had our normal race, Cable to Hayward, you would see her at the beginning, you'd see her at the end.
And that's it.
With a looped course, spectators can now be able to watch her ski by multiple times and ring that cowbell for multiple times, not just for Jessie, but for a bunch of other world-class athletes that are going to be coming to little old Hayward, Wisconsin, which is just so cool.
The fitness level of these people, if you've never gone cross-country skiing and you think, oh, yeah, that looks like anybody can do that, you really have to be in amazing shape.
Oh, absolutely. As a relatively new cross-country skier myself, I say I've been doing it seriously for like the past 5 years. I've been a runner and a biker my whole life, and I really kind of started getting into this Berkey thing about 5 years ago. Whew. I've ran marathons. I'm fine. I can do it. But like, cross-country skiing is a beast, and doing it in Hayward, Wisconsin, I mean, I'm from the Green Bay area, right? That area of the state's a little flat. You don't get a lot of elevation. I think a lot of people get up here to Hayward, Wisconsin, and they don't realize just what the hills are like here and how you really, it's a workout.
What the hell is this?
What the hell is going on out here? That's exactly what it's like in here.
I have a friend I used to work with. He did it every year that I worked there, and it without failing. He'd been doing it for years before that. And he trained so hard. And he was, at the time, in his late 60s.
Wow.
He was training for it. And he would take 3 days off of work afterwards to recover. Because it just, I mean, people don't understand. Like, oh, cross country.
All you're doing is sliding.
It's so nice. You look at the weather. It's like, no, I saw pictures of him afterwards. I'm like, why?
It's a unique challenge.
Yeah.
It really is. Speaking of longevity, this year we've had one skier. It's our 50th anniversary, which is so exciting for us. And that's why, despite the weather, despite whatever's going to be happening, we are going to be holding this race for a few reasons. Number one, it is our 50th year anniversary. And we have Ernie St. Germain, who is a legend in these parts. This will be his 50th Birkebeiner. He has skied every single one. So you talk about doing it into your 70s and even into your late 70s, 80s. People do it. And the part about that is that, again, it's a great workout, but it's also low impact, believe it or not. It's not like running where you're really pounding those joints.
Yeah.
So people can do it into their 70s and 80s because there is, yes, it's a workout, but there is a technique that you have to work, but maybe don't have to work as hard if you get that technique down. So that's really exciting because it's a 50th anniversary. We're doing it for everyone, but it's a really special year for Ernie to be doing his 50th American Birkebeiner. This race just means so much to people.
Yeah,
it's so much more than a race. Like, we just received an email this morning from a skier. We get lots of comments from skiers all the time, which is so great. We see comments on our Facebook and our YouTube, but just emails to people that say like, hey, we understand this is a rough year for you guys. We appreciate everything you're doing. One skier today said, this is my 38th Birkebeiner.
Wow.
I've missed one for my best friend's wedding. And he's like, I implored with him to try to change the date of the wedding.
Do it for me.
Come on, please. I missed it for my son's wedding, and that's it.
Those and I implored my ones. Son not to get married.
He's like, honey, you can hold on, right? Yeah. Honey, you gotta hold more than that. But in his comment, he just said, look, no matter what this race is, it's more than a race weekend. It's the weekend a year that's only so many, like there's groups of family and friends that this might be the only weekend a year they get together, and they get together for this race. You know, there's so much to it. It's more than just a race.
Well, and that's leading to my next question, because reminds me sort of Harley culture, in the sense that you get all kinds of people coming from all over, and this is their weekend. And when I say party, I don't mean to party, but I mean like to be together, to hang out, yeah. to like just get away from their lives for a weekend and have fun. Then these are my Berkey friends, and I see them once exactly. a year.
And this is your Berkey family, right?
Exactly. 100%. You know, and this just sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, honestly, whether you are a participant or a spectator.
100%. Yeah, I would encourage everyone to get up here. If you're a Wisconsinite, if you're even more than just Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, if you're in this region and you haven't been to a Berkey Bonnie yet, highly suggest it. And this might be the year to do it again, because that we're more likely than not going to be doing a looped course with some world-class athletes. But I'd highly suggest, it's one of those just like Wisconsin things I'd say you got to check out. Yeah. You know, whether it's you come up here, you see the giant muskie as well. I mean, come on, that's huge.
you
got to do that.
You got to go see the giant muskie there up in the Berkey Bonnie.
Yeah, I haven't lived until you've seen the giant muskie. I mean, come on, we can all agree 100%. On that.
Now, Sean, do you take part in it, or because you're doing what you're doing, you have to like step back and be like, well, I gotta work.
So full disclosure, I'm on my fifth week in this job. Had some transition with someone. And here's the fun part is that as soon as Berkey was done last year, I signed up for this year.
Yeah.
And in my interview process, I'm like, hey, so elephant in the room, can I still do the Berkey this year? And they're like, well, take a look at your schedule and then you can decide that for yourself. Yeah, I'm going to be a little too busy, unfortunately.
We're all
pretty slammed here. Yeah.
You've got kind of a critical role as the marketing and communications director for the American Berkey Bonnie. So I can imagine that there's just a few hundred things and details that you're going to need to keep track of.
I see two computer screens and a huge calendar. You have things to do.
yeah, there are things. And
he's a busy guy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, but yeah, so but it's exciting, and that is, we actually have a staff Berkey that we do a couple weeks afterwards. It's just for the staff to kind of go out and do, and there's not all the hoopla that you get at the normal Berkey, but you know, we all take a lot of pride in being able to put on a world class event for all of our spectators,
absolutely.
And particularly when it comes to communication part on a year where things won't exactly be like normal.
Sure,
that's going to be my focus, to make sure everybody is having a really amazing experience up here in Hayward.
What I think is so cool, Sean, and you pointed it out as well, that this little town in Wisconsin attracts people from literally all over the globe and is famous. I just, that just makes me so proud and so happy. It does for our little state, you know, not necessarily known for its great skiing.
Oh, 100%. Tony Weiss, it all boils down to him. In 1973, he bought the Telemark property where we're actually rebuilding the Telemark home base. He built this amazing lodge, and he started all of a great entrepreneur, started the World Lumberjack Championships, which is also coming up in August. Another, like, it's literally a world-class event that comes here. So to your point, there's a lot of history here. And I think Tony Weiss is the founder of this American Berkey Bonnie Ski Foundation. And he had a vision for what this area can be and why to drive people here to northern Wisconsin, a little town, see its scenic beauty, do some great ice fishing, do some great fishing, hit up the trails. But like, we can host world-class events here too that bring the world here. And he is also one of the co-founders of the World Elopic Courses. So this course is actually tied into a whole network of races and courses all around the world that are called World Elopic Courses. So that's one of the reasons this race is world renowned, because skiers know it's challenging and they know it's a beautiful, amazing experience when they come up here.
You know what I gotta say? So we had Teresa on before talking about the great output of maple syrup here.
100%.
And I feel like the Berkey Bonnie also qualifies as beyond the cheese. If you think about it, when 100%. You think of Wisconsin, people are like, oh, beer, sausage, cheese, but not a world-class race that brings people from all, brings, as you said, the number one cross-country skier in the world to Wisconsin to race, not to shake hands or to like, oh, well, get a parade. They're here to work.
And 100%.
That's important to know and important to tell people.
And I gotta say, quick plug, because I I was in the chat with Teresa right after maple. What after ski season is done, I go into maple syrup season. I volunteer at a Boy Scout camp in Mountain, Wisconsin that has a great sugar bush. And we make maple syrup there every year. It's a great program. It's just like summer camp for kids, but instead of like all going swimming and stuff, they learn how to make maple syrup.
Oh,
really
that,
cool program. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is
so anyways.
Cool.
So when you had her on, I was just like, oh, this is great.
And I get to learn. And I get to learn too.
But to your point, yeah, there's so many like hidden gems around Wisconsin. Yeah, maple syrup is huge in this state.
Yeah.
Cross-country skiing, it's huge in this state. You just got to find your niches that are around here. There's just so much that our state, a great state, has to offer. And that's why I love kind of what you're doing with civic media, being able to spread that around the entire state and connect local media, because I think that is so important. I come from a local radio and television background, so it's just so important.
Sean, we got just a couple of minutes left. Do you have time to hang with us for one more shorter segment?
Yeah, not a problem.
That would be great. If you have a question for Sean or about the Birkebeiner, and I want to ask you on the other side, Sean, just about lodging and if people want to come up and watch, maybe not race themselves, but lodging and some good places to go eat and other, all kinds of things Berkey related. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. On air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PASTY. Or shoot us a message if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Birkebeiner is coming up next month in Hayward, Wisconsin. Sean Connolly is the communications and marketing director for the Berkey. Sean, and I've been to Hayward, and I've stayed in Hayward. It's not like there's a whole large amount of hotels available, so people must kind of stay all the way around the area, right?
Correct, yeah. There's a lot of great Airbnbs in the area as well, outside of the hotel. Hotels fill up pretty quick around here. But yeah, a lot of host families and a lot of Airbnbs, but everywhere from Hayward, Cable to Hayward, and the surrounding Sawyer County, people will stay. And if you can get with like within an hour, that's good.
That's just pretty good.
You know, that's pretty good, yeah.
And as far as, is there an average price, or I suppose you just have to kind of hunt around a little bit and see what
You got to hunt around. You know, it's tough to say that because I know there's a lot of skiers who the second the Berkey's done, they're talking with their hosts about next year already.
Sure.
Like, hey, I want to book this. So they can get a decent deal. But, you know, but supply and demand, and it is a little scarce around here. So if you want to come this year, I would suggest looking for that housing sooner than later.
Do it now.
Because it gets a little scarce the closer you get to race day.
Or get that RV, Jane.
100%.
Get that RV, Jane.
I'm lobbying Sean for the station to buy us a travel RV that we can take around the state with with just a small hot tub that we pull behind it. It wouldn't be huge.
Just the necessities,
that basics that you need when you're on the road. And as far as restaurants and stuff, I'm sure there's all kinds of options up there too.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of great restaurants up here. Lots of great partners that we work with. I mean, the Sawmill Saloon is one of the ones we like to have a lot of after parties at. But anywhere in downtown Hayward, you're going to find a great meal. Main Street Tacos does an amazing job. The Angler Bar and Grill does an amazing job. So yeah, you got a lot of great options down here in Hayward, Wisconsin, and up in Cable too. There's a lot of it's kind of like we were talking about before. Wisconsin's got a lot of these hidden gems, and I think the hospitality of our local bars, restaurants, pubs are just they're top notch. I don't think you can walk into one and not feel like you're at home.
Well, and this has got to be such a big deal. There was just an article today about so many of our businesses in the North Woods who are struggling because they depend on snowmobilers and they depend on ice fishers. And if you can still go visit these places, that would
Please
be
do.
Great.
Yeah.
Because the supper clubs and the
clubs.
Bars and the little, sports bars and stuff, they're hurting.
Yeah,
they are. And that's what, again, another reason why we're having this event one way or the other. It's going to look a little different, but we're going to have this event because we want to support those businesses. We know that this is a huge economic driver for this community. So we're going to push through and make sure we have something here.
Yeah. I mean, isn't this their Christmas season? This is pretty much their Christmas season.
Yeah, 100%.
As far as when they make the biggest, and I'm sure summertime is big too, when they make a lot of revenue, but I know they count on that wintertime commerce.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Dr. Merlot, our meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, was telling us about just how hard it is for something like some of these places that are places that you go ice fishing, all these places that rely on snow, cold weather, just not doing great this year. So kind of make your way up there if you can.
Go take your bicycle along.
Yeah.
You could hit the trails on your bike probably.
Do some non-ice fishing. I don't know.
I'm so glad you mentioned biking because the weekend, a couple weekends, I got to look at my calendar now. A couple weekends after the Berkey, on March 9th, we are actually having our Fat Bike Berkey. So that's the cool thing about the American Brickbinder Ski Foundation is that we are a year-round organization. People often ask me, it's like, okay, you're now working with the Berkey, so it's a part-time job? Oh, no. It's a year-round job.
Oh, wow.
So we have a Fat Bike Berkey on March 9th, where if you want to take the Berkey course, ride that famous course from Cable to Hayward, you can probably, that's the unique year we're in, that the skiers may not be able to do it, but the fat fire bikers will be able to do it. So you're going to be able to ride that Fat Bike Berkey on March 9th. Coming up, again, I got to look at my calendar here and cheat. Coming up in June 7th, 8th, 9th. 7th through the 9th, we have our Epic Bike Fest. So big bike fest there. Later in September, we have a trail running race. I mentioned earlier in this earlier segment, we have our Lumberjack World Championships in August. So all of these things that we have are just amazing reasons to come out to Hayward year round.
Do you work with the Lumberjack Championships? That's the same company.
That's a Birkebeiner event.
So we would probably be talking because we'd love to talk to you about that.
We want to broadcast from up there
wants to broadcast. Ooh. She wants to see.
I want to talk to Lady Lumberjacks.
You do. And actually, you're going to want to talk to Sam. So she's the one who manages that whole event. She helps a lot with the media. So we work together on that.
Yeah.
She is literally a Lumberjane, Lumberjill. I am intimidated by her, Sam. You heard it. I am intimidated by your physique. It's amazing.
And also, why couldn't you call it the Bikebiner? I mean, seriously, you just missed out on. Oh, there you go.
Naming. There you go. It's all in the name.
There's so much. So you got the Bikebiner ski, Bikebiner bike. You've got the Lumberjack Championship. Right. What else goes on, the major events that you do?
Yeah, so end of September, we also have our Berkey Trail Run.
Okay.
So that's a really big running race that we do here. This past January is actually a really busy month for us, not only preparing for the Berkey, but every single weekend we have an event from our Sealy Hills Classic. That's a classic skiing event that we do. We have our Ski to She, which is a women's ski race weekend. It was our second annual one this year.
Nice.
Amazing response. A whole weekend with a camp where not only is there a race, but there's informational sessions on how to become a better skier and really for women to really connect and empower each other. Really great event there. We have our Berkey Night Tour race, which is really cool. So that was a great way to kind of come out and check out the Berkey trails and then do a race at night. It was so cool to see all these headlamps whipping through the woods at night. So January is a really busy month for us. And again, we were able to do all of those events thanks to our snowmaking capabilities. So we have a base out there. People have been able to roll with it, which has been great. So that's what we're going to be able to, knock on wood, be able to rely on in a few weeks here. Granted, we know the weather doesn't look super super cool this week, but it's supposed to get a little bit colder next week. We can continue to make some snow. So one way or another, we're confident something can happen here. So stay tuned because we'll have a lot more than that. So February 12th, we actually have a live stream of our own that we're going to be doing to kind of make our final announcements. By then, we'll have our 10-day forecast and we'll be able to say, okay, here's what's going to be happening. We can make those official announcements of what exactly this course is going to look like, what exactly the dates and times are going to look like, because those are going to shift a little bit just to make sure we're accommodating all the skiers, we're accommodating our elite skiers, we're accommodating our citizen skiers, and we're accommodating the course. So done talking.
Where can people find out more? Where should they go?
Berkey.com. Berkey.com is the best. B-I-R-K-I-E.
Thank you so much, Sean Connolly, the Marketing and Communications Director for the Berkey Biners. Thank you to all our guests who joined us this morning. Thank you for listening and calling and texting. I hope you find some joy today, and I really hope you have the chance to share it. We have news on the way next, followed by Todd Alba. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.